Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Forget the cigars, the coffee, the bacon and eggs, and especially those blueberry pancakes. Get me a couple glasses wherever they're at.
Get me a couple glasses,
and I'll make you breakfast right now.
Howard Simon.
I got something that'll keep you going all day long, Daddy. Don't worry about a thing, brother. Just don't worry about
it. You have got to be kidding me.
No carbs, no fat, nothing but pure protein, bro. You got to get your head right.
Jeremy White.
Not raw, eh?
Oh, that's
come on.
This is the only way to go.
Howard Simon.
You're in strict training. We gotta watch your diet. We gotta make sure you don't get overloaded with all those carbohydrates, and especially that nasty cigar I saw you smoking. The best protein you can get. We're gonna do this 4 times a day. Just watch how easy it goes down, and then you're next, brother. This is how we start the day. Every morning and every 2 hours, we do the same thing.
Oh, no.
There's not a better way to go. Come on.
Howard Simon.
You're already late. I was here at 5 a.m, man. You're sitting there sucking on a cigar and drinking that coffee. Do it, man. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
So I saw a debate yesterday about, and I saw, Brayton, you were tweeting about this, about the AP style notebook.
Oh, the Stanley Cup Finals. Stanley Cup Finals
versus Finals.
Yeah.
And the AP said you can use either, or what did they say?
I think the AP said it's final for the Stanley Cup Final and then NBA Finals.
Right.
Why?
Great question. That's what I want to talk about.
Why is it one for one and one for the other? And why would it be S? Isn't it one final, or do you consider it multiple games in a final, which makes it Finals?
Right. But yet the Stanley Cup is the final.
Yeah. No, we need...
For instance,
when you work in a business where you have to mention both series, we need one answer. I never know which one has the S and which one doesn't.
Well, I know which one.
Stanley Cup final.
I just want to know the nature of it. Why did hockey decide to go with no S? There's another final coming up, the Champions League final. That's one game. That's a final, right? In college basketball, we call it the championship game.
Yeah.
Final really, doesn't it often mean one game? And yet in the NHL, there are... As many as seven, and they call it still a final.
But isn't it? It's one series, though.
Well, so is the NBA.
So, but that's why I'm saying, if I hear finals, I feel like it's multiple series.
Well, the games of the finals.
The games of the final. It's one series.
Well, okay.
I like no S.
Do you what you don't call it the conference semifinal? You call it the semifinals.
Nope, but there's two series.
Eastern Conference semifinals.
Eastern Conference final.
You don't call it that. Nobody does. You don't call it the Eastern Conference quarterfinal, although there are many of those. You're right.
It's one Eastern Conference final.
So you think the NBA should drop the S?
It's the conference finals, but if you want to say
Eastern conference final.
I probably don't. When we do headlines, I'm pretty sure I say Eastern Finals last night.
No, you're right.
But it should be no S.
I think you're onto something. That makes sense.
I'm going home. 6:06. I made a point that makes sense. I'm calling it quits. I'm out of here. Mic drop.
So how do we get the NBA to drop the S? Or do we need them to keep the S?
Well, or get the NHL to add the S, so they both do the same thing. I just can't have one doing the other. It's too much to remember.
It is strange to always kind of be flipping that switch back and forth.
You want to see if we can get Adam Silver on the show and ask him?
Ask him to drop the S?
Uh-huh.
Stanley Cup final.
You know what? I'll get a hold of Bettman. We're birthday bros.
Yeah, we learned that.
Yeah.
He'll know the NHL's not going to change anything.
They'll discuss it in their meetings for 6 years and never really get to it.
Gary Bettman will say, our fans love the fact there's no S in final. Our fans love it. They're so happy with it.
There's a story at NHL.com about the final. Blues can end a lot of heartache in final against the Bruins. Are we buying the Blues heartache?
What heartache have the St. Louis hockey fans had? All right, I know they never won a cup. What heartache? Someone tell me. Can you think of a series, a moment, a playoff moment, anything where they got screwed? What's their no goal?
Well, I mean, do you just have to get screwed?
Yeah, you got to get screwed.
Can't you just lose and be...
How about blow a 3-1 lead? I mean, some heartache, playoff heartache. I'm sure it's happened. But someone tell me, give me the Blues playoff heartache moments.
There heartache would be kind of like the Bills' heartache of the last 17 years. It's more of a drought style.
But they made the playoffs for 20-something straight years there for one stretch, right?
But since the lockout, the Blues missed the playoffs the first 3 years, get swept in the next round of the in the next year, miss two more years, go to the second round, first round, conference final to the Sharks. And I feel like their drought is the cup final, that they hadn't been there since what?
In 1970.
49 years.
Yeah.
That's like the Leafs.
Yeah, 67. Yeah.
Right.
Actually, I did see a someone
how,
who...
How about that, though? The Blues drought's over, and the Leafs is still on.
Yeah, somebody wrote that Leaf fans, like, this is a big nightmare for the Leafs because St. Louis hasn't, you know, won a cup in 49 years. The Leafs are right there with them. You don't want St. Louis to get one. You know, there's one of the teams with the Sabres and the Canucks, you know, that list of teams 40-plus years without a Stanley Cup would shrink by one. And Leaf fans would be annoyed by that. Or they'd be annoyed by watching the Bruins win the Stanley Cup.
But if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, you might think that should be
us. We lost to them?
That should be us. Keep it together, boys.
You were up 3-2 with a home game to close the Bruins out in the first round.
Yeah. And then you were on the road against the Bruins, and your goalie gave up a couple of soft ones. Yeah. Maybe one soft one. But yeah, I think about... St. Louis, my knee-jerk reaction was to do what you did and say, what heartbreak? And then I'm thinking, well, how many people in St. Louis know about ours?
Well, everybody knows about no goal.
Okay.
Of course, Brett Hull would have played in St. Louis at some point, too, so maybe...
they like that.
Maybe they're happy. They were happy for him. They might have been rooting for him.
There's no goal. There's the... I mean, they're
not
05,
up on
06. 06,
right. They don't... They have no concept,
about
right?
the defenseman that lost.
They might know... They might have thought... Wow, what a year it would have been to get out of the West, because look what happened in our side of things. And Edmonton, the 8th seed, ends up going to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
But yeah, they probably, beyond no goal, I'm not sure that they would know much of what's happened around here.
I can't think of anything in Blues history. They've been one of those teams that's just around.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, have they ever had, I know they've had great players. Who's the best player in Blues history?
Brett Hull, Doug Gilmore, Bernie Federko. There were a few guys in the 70s. One of the Plager brothers. I mean, they had a handful of really good players.
I mean, it might be a point about the Sabres. If you're talking about the best player in Sabres history, it's Gilbert Perreault.
Right.
Dominic Hasek.
Right.
You know, it's not exactly a laundry list for like it is with some other teams.
I think the Blues' MO is they've never been really crappy. But you've never also thought of them as a perennial Stanley Cup contender.
Right.
They're usually good. They're usually in the playoffs. They don't usually go far in the playoffs.
Vladimir Tarasenko is 5th all-time in goals for them. Doesn't he feel like he's been on the scene for not quite 5 minutes, but 211 is 5th.
Who's number one for them?
Brett Hull.
Okay, it is Hull.
Federko's number 2.
Yeah.
Want to try and get 3 and 4?
No.
I mean, I put it this way. I couldn't even give you hints. I don't know who these guys are.
Oh, there's
one guy that probably coached 10 teams because all of his brothers did.
There's a Sutter?
There's a Sutter. Brian Sutter?
I forgot Brian. I thought
Brian Sutter and Gary Unger.
Yeah, he had the games played streak for a while.
And then 70s, Tarasenko, right. Kachuk, David Backes, Pavel Dimitra, Alex Steen, and Red Berenson. And that is your list of best goal scorers in Blues history. Yeah, it's just not that impressive.
I'm laughing. Brayton, you want to use your stat of the day? I'm just looking up on the screen and I see your tweet. Go ahead.
So here's an interesting stat of the day for you guys that everyone will probably love to hear. So the Sabres, they've missed the Stanley Cup playoffs for the past 8 seasons, longest active playoff drought in the NHL. While the St. Louis Blues in their entire 52-year history have missed the playoffs just 9 times.
Mm. Yeah, that's... Whoopies.
But yeah. I mean, again, like what's the, again, in this moment, it would feel great to make the playoffs for the Sabres and get swept. But, you know, each team's got its own drought. Each team's got its own bar. 49 years without going to the Cup Final. The Sabres have been there twice since the Blues have.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons. I'm going to throw in a reason I hadn't thought of, but I'm going to make up stuff now. Well, first off, we're rooting for the Blues because nobody wants the Bruins to win. That's really the only reason I need to have.
I am not rooting for the Blues.
I'm rooting for the Blues.
I am not rooting for anybody.
You don't care about the series at all, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Not the outcome.
I'm rooting for the Blues. The question is...
I'm rooting for goals to be scored on purpose.
Yeah. The question is am I going to be at a point where I'm like really into it, yelling at the television screen, upset if the Blues lose a hockey game? Like, That's how I felt in the Boston-Toronto series. I was emotionally involved in that series.
Me too.
Boy, last year I would have been that way. I didn't hate Vegas, but last year I was really rooting hard for Washington.
Me too.
I don't know. I know I want Boston to lose. I'm waiting to see. My gut will always tell me. When the game starts, if the Bruins, like Marchand, scores in the first period, I'll know how I really feel about the series.
If Marchand elbows somebody in the face in the first five minutes,
I'm going to yell and
then
scream.
Then it'll bring it out of you.
I'll come in the next morning and tell you Gary Bettman should throw this bum out of the league.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll root for St. Louis. How about this? How about we root for St. Louis because those poor fans lost an NFL team?
I don't mind that, actually.
Okay. They've had plenty of baseball championships with the Cardinals, so it's not like the overall fan base has suffered a ton, but they lost a professional franchise. That stinks.
They did get a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. But then they had to watch the team they lost go to the Super Bowl, but lose. They lost a franchise.
Is it worth winning a Super Bowl to lose a franchise?
So you mean winning as the St. Louis Rams when they...
And then lose the franchise.
When they beat Tennessee and then lose it? No.
No, it's definitely not.
No, definitely not. Like, so what you're you're going to give me a Bills Lombardi trophy, but then they're moving?
And then 15 years later, they move.
Well, I might be in a pine box by then, so that's okay.
I was just going to say, maybe I gave you too much runway there.
Can you? 15 years, I mean, this job will kill me before then, so I'll take that bet, I guess.
That ends up being like a television show, right? You're watching the season finale, and you're hoping it finishes the way you wanted it to.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, the thing I wanted to happen. All right, well, the show's not on anymore. The Bills have moved.
That's
the,
right.
The Blues have moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Blues have been, you could say this about a lot of teams. I used to feel this way about the Chiefs. They're the most irrelevant team in the league, to me. Not to everybody. I mean, the Bills have been irrelevant nationally for a while, and maybe they get back to something more positive. But the Blues are just, right, you're in the middle of the country. You don't have a ton of stars. I mean, I'm talking franchise history here. You have Brett Hull and Pavel Dimitra.
Don't forget Bernie Federko.
And Alex Steen and guys like that. And you're just kind of, you know, you're there. I know you because you have that goofy jersey that you wore once. That was it. Ken Hitchcock refused to put his players in the jersey. One of the coaches refused to wear the Blues jersey.
Really?
1996, well, something like
I can't
that.
Remember what the jersey would have been.
Oh, man.
Hasn't it always just been the music note?
No. They went with those super wacky jerseys. Hmm. This one right here.
Remember.
It's classic 90s.
Oh, the red. Oh, whoa. What is that?
That. They had that.
Oh, that is a beautiful look.
And they the coach refused to ice a team wearing the jerseys.
What is it? Like saxophones and stuff? Like
yeah. It's
it's like a jersey of horn section.
I don't want to say what league it's like because that would be an insult to those other leagues. I was almost going to say
that. WHA?
I don't know. But
it's a classic.
Yeah, well, I'll find this story that they refused to wear them.
I don't even remember that jersey.
Mike Keenan.
Oh, yeah, I could see him doing that.
They refused to take the ice. NHL lore steadfastly insists that Mike Keenan's refusal to take the ice kept the Blues from wearing those jerseys. The league claims they were never official.
You know, I actually think they're pretty cool.
Those goofy ones?
With the musical instruments logo?
I mean, they're pretty ridiculous.
Oh, I think they're awesome.
What they don't need a third
jersey, not a primary.
But they don't have a crest. That's the thing.
That is the crest.
There's no crest.
Well, it's the instrument. It's your logo.
It's screen printed like something really bad.
Yeah.
It is.
I think it's a beautiful thing.
It's definitely different.
I could see Mike Keenan not wanting to wear those, but I could see those.
They should roll those out if they get a clinching game on home ice.
Yeah. I don't know how to. Like I said, I think St. Louis is just. Sure, it's a team that's been there. It's not one of the more notable franchises in either direction. They're not known for being at the bottom of the league forever and being horrible, and they're not known for being a Stanley Cup contender and all this stuff. How many times did they even make it to a conference final in the 40 years without a berth in the Stanley Cup? How many times did they get to the third round? They never really are that big a factor in the West. I know you said irrelevant. I think they're relevant in terms they're usually in the playoffs, but they're never really a big factor.
One of the reasons they haven't done more is under this playoff format, isn't it 2-3 years in a row they play the Blackhawks and they lose in the first round?
Yeah, they would have been running into
Ryan
Chicago.
Ryan Miller got traded to the Blues.
Right. Didn't that cost the Sabres a higher? Wasn't there a draft pick?
We were rooting for them.
For him to like get to the second or third round or something like that? Something like that, yeah.
Dave writes in, St. Louis lost two NFL franchises. Thank you, Dave. That's right.
Oh, the Cardinals.
They lost the Cardinals,
That's
too.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Who's the most irrelevant team in each sport to you right now? Let's go NHL first.
New Jersey Devils.
Don't say the Sabres. New Jersey Devils.
The most irrelevant team?
Yeah. The Devils do have Jack Hughes coming.
Or Capo Caco.
You're a Capo truther? You think it's going to go first pick, maybe?
I don't know. You never know.
8:30 this morning, Ryan Kennedy from the Hockey News is going to come on Talk Draft. That's one of the things I want to ask him about.
There's a little bit of buzz.
He's having a hell of a world championship.
He is. Yeah. I've read that basically one of the reactions is that maybe it's Rangers fans trying to convince everyone that it might happen.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
Think. Sure, that's a good nominee.
Devils is a good nominee.
Because they're the third team in that market, even with cups.
And they get the lowest television rating of any team in the league.
Really? Yeah.
Playing in a city like Newark.
We've never felt like I've never looked at their fan base and thought, wow, those Devils fans, they really deserve that cup. I mean, it's meh.
Can I beat the Devils on irrelevance?
I would actually nominate the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, really? South Florida hockey
They did just get Quenneville.
I know. So, but that's a franchise that has had long playoff droughts. When they've gotten into they made it to one Stanley Cup final, got swept by the Colorado Avalanche. We know, right? It's not exactly a fan base that's into hockey. They're constantly talking about how they can try and find ways to get fans into the stands at their games. So, I would nominate. I'll take Florida for my nominee as the most irrelevant franchise.
Okay, I like that one too. I like New Jersey. I'm actually going to Sporkle because one of the good ways to find out who is the most irrelevant is to see people taking.
You think there's a Sporkle quiz about it?
Yeah, but name the NHL teams, and the one that is forgotten the most is definitely the most irrelevant team. So do we want to click on this and see that the Sabres are the one?
Let's do it.
No, they're not. Come on.
It's possible. It's very possible.
Coyotes get some votes?
Maybe. Probably. Yeah, maybe. It's a great way to find out, right? Like, okay, here we go. Give up. The most missed NHL team. At least they used to give this statistic. I don't know if I can still pull it up.
Do you know what they would have based it on? This is polls of fans that never bring up certain teams or something? Or what?
No. There's a trivia question asking you, name all the teams.
Oh, and this is the one that everybody forgets? The most people forget.
The most forgotten team.
It can't
team.
Be us.
It could
it's
be.
It's not going to be. It's going to be the Arizona Coyotes.
It could be us. So I'll pull up the results of that. How about the other leagues?
Irrelevant teams, huh, in the NFL.
I do think the Milwaukee Bucks are here in the conference final, and they are absolutely a suggestion for that, a nominee, I should say, for that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was trying to think of the NFL. Whew, boy, who would I pick in the NFL?
I would have said it used to be the Chiefs, and just because they always won eight games, they did what the Bills did for the longest time, which was always just kind of hang around and be there. But... You know, it's
I don't know why Carolina's in my head, but I'm trying to think who else. Yeah, I'm not having I don't know if there's an obvious one. Oh, I know. Cincinnati Bengals.
That's a very good one right
now. You know, they're not Brownsy bad or haven't traditionally been Brownsy bad. They're not Steelers good. They've made the playoffs. They made two Super Bowls a long time ago, lost them both. But, you know, I mean, lately they've been a team that made the playoffs for, the first 4 or 5 years of Dalton's career. Nobody ever thought they were a legitimate threat in the AFC. Now they've missed the playoffs 4 or 5 years in a row. I would say this. I will nominate the Cincinnati Bengals as an irrelevant NFL team. By the way, of course, would Buffalo be winning that game too? I mean, the Bills did miss the playoffs for quite some time.
Yeah. I've got the
I feel like we would actually be the team that people would bring up in this discussion.
For the Bills?
A relevant franchise in the NFL?
I've got bad news for the NHL one.
Come on, no way!
We're not last.
Okay.
But we're second to
Come
last.
Come on, no way! That's impossible! How
second
can we
to
be
last.
Second to last?
Because
Who's ahead
people
of
don't
us?
People don't know. The only team that got fewer or was forgotten more often than the Sabres was?
Florida.
Nashville.
Really?
Yeah. The bottom five. Nashville, Buffalo, Columbus, Arizona, St. Louis. So that's I think we're on the right track here. They're just teams you don't think about.
Yeah.
And when you don't think about them, I think you get to where you did, which was when I brought up they can end a lot of heartache. You say, heartache?
Yeah.
Nobody even knows who you are.
Right. I don't. I think, you know, if you go through team by team, maybe that's not for live on the air, but to go through team by team and think like heartache, playoff, you know, what really, really tough moments has that franchise had in its history? And I couldn't think of anything for St. Louis. I don't know why. I might struggle with other clubs. Who knows? But I just couldn't think of anything with the Blues.
Yeah. Who are their famous goalies? I'm trying to think of the players that would have
Glenn Hall
made them famous over time. Did they have somebody that just showed up and
Chris Pronger?
Chris Pronger played for them for a while. Al MacInnis, I think about with the Blues. Mike Liut, Curtis
Mike
Joseph.
Liut. Yeah, I think of Mike. Well, I think it was the Whalers too, but I think Mike Liut is probably more identified with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, he's got the most wins.
Wasn't it Cujo that started his career in St. Louis too?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Jake Allen is third all time in wins.
Yeah, and he hasn't been. How long has he been there? How many has he had? Yeah, I think part of their. I mean, I guess part of their problem has been where they've been. Where you know what division they've been in too. You know, like you said recently with Chicago, long time ago. You know, Detroit was in the West. You would have had to deal with the Red Wings to try and get out of your conference. So maybe that's part of it too. Because again, they've been good enough to make the playoffs. They've just never been good enough to get out of the conference and make it to the Stanley Cup final until now.
It'll be like an angel getting its wings here. It'll be like a mafia guy being a made man. If the Blues are to win this series, they are forever forgettable.
It'll be good. Yes, it'll be nice. Are any Sabre fans thinking we can't have the Blues win because their drought is longer than ours? And even though I hate Boston, we have to root for Boston so the Blues don't win?
Yes, some are.
Really?
Some would say, I don't want another franchise to get a cup before me.
It's the Leafs argument. Like, they're I didn't even give that a thought until just now when it came through my brain. Because I'm just going to root for St. Louis. I don't spend as much time thinking about, wait a minute, that team is NFL, NHL. I really don't think a lot about, well, they have a longer drought than the Bills or Sabres. They can't win a championship.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't really play that card.
I've yet to invest. We'll find out. When game one rolls on, I'll be like you. I'll turn it on, and maybe I'll find out that I am rooting against Boston, but I'm so far feeling like I won't care what happens.
That's funny. That's how it works with me sometimes. I have an idea of what I want to happen in the series or whether I'm really into it or not. And then when the game starts, like, you know, I knew, for those of you that kept calling going, how could you guys pick Boston against Toronto? What's wrong with you people? Man, that series, game one, I knew right away. I did not want the Maple Leafs to win. I knew emotionally how I was reacting to plays in that game. God forbid I'm actually going to say this. I almost felt like a Bruins fan. I knew I wanted the Islanders to lose. Like, I was emotionally involved in rooting against the Islanders in their series against the Penguins. The Islanders would score, and I'm yelling at the television set as if I'm a Penguin fan. I'm not sure what will happen Monday night in game one. I want St. Louis to win, but I don't know how emotionally invested I will be in that franchise come Monday. It's more... Honestly, right. It's not as much about love of the Blues as it is about you don't want the other team to win. You know, it's anybody but Boston. If it was San Jose, I'd be pulling for San Jose. I'd be pulling for anybody in the West. Really, it wouldn't have mattered. Anybody in the West to beat the Boston Bruins. The phone lines are open this morning. Join us, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We'll get some football stuff, some hockey stuff. We talked a little bit there, but I've got a couple hockey things to bring up with the Sabres and the offseason and salary cap and targets to go after. There's a name, a couple names I want to run by you of interest that we'll see if maybe the Sabres would be interested in these guys.
Two tweeters have pointed out by that Gretzky played for the Blues, which I do remember.
He did, but whatever. You know, I mean, he played for the Rangers.
It was probably his most irrelevant stop.
Yeah.
He's with the Kings, he sets his record. He's with the Rangers, he retires and gets a truck.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's Edmonton. What did he do in St. Louis? How many goals did he score?
He helped them get the 3-2 series lead against the Red Wings, and then the Red Wings beat them in seven games because of a Steve Yzerman,
that was the Yzerman goal?
Slap shot from the blue line.
That was what Gretzky round was that?
That was second round, I think.
Hmm. And Grant Fuhr played for the Blues too?
Yes, he did.
Yep. Hmm.
Gretzky played for St. Louis for how many years?
Three.
One.
Okay, well, then that's why he's irrelevant with the Blues.
How many games?
70.
18.
What was he, traded at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Huh. Then that doesn't count. He was never in St. Louis.
Wayne Gretzky at age 35 was a rental.
He was never. That doesn't count. I think if you're in a city for 18 games,
18
we
games.
Do not acknowledge
but
you wore
this is
that
the point.
Uniform.
When the tweets came in that Gretzky played for the Blues, you thought 3 years, and so did I. I thought
it was longer than
three,
that.
Three, four years?
No.
What happened with Gretzky and the Blues?
18 games?
18 games. That's it.
It was the 95-96 season, by the way, with the Yzerman goal, second round.
Yeah. Well, looks like Gretzky didn't...
was a full season. It's not like it was a lockout year, right? Because 94-95
that was the
would have
they
been
quit.
The lockout year. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never played for them. I'm going to make an official ruling that we're just going to wipe it, take it out of his Wikipedia page. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Hey, Father's Day coming up. We've got a brand new contest to tell you about. You could win something really sweet for dad, a brand new Weber grill from Value Home Centers, along with a prize pack and a gift card from Country Sweet Chicken and Rib Restaurant. That's for Father's Day. Very nice gift for dad. All you need to do is register for your chance to win. To do that, go to the contest page at WGR550.com. You have until June 9th to enter. Again, contest page, WGR550.com, for a chance to win a brand new Weber grill from Value Home Centers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't get to this level and this spot by accident. They've got a heck of a team. We got a heck of a team, and we're going to concentrate on doing what we need to do to win the game in this room. And we've got an awesome group of guys to do that with. We've had a few more days rest, and it's on for keeps, and going to be one heck of a series.
That is David Backus. It's the Blues and Bruins, but you got to wait a little bit. Game one is Monday night.
It's a long wait, right?
Yeah. Why are they waiting that long? It's not a building availability, is it? Or do they want to stay away from the weekend? No idea.
No, I don't know.
Okay, but you got to wait till Monday for that. Let's do some football news. The Bills have an OTA today. They made a handful of roster moves yesterday. We will have all those details if you want to see who's coming, who's going, at WGR550.com. NFL owners gave the competition committee the go-ahead to tweak the challenge rules for pass interference, which likely means no booth review inside the final 2 minutes. It'll just be from start to finish, strictly a coach's challenge.
They're tweaking a rule that had been passed but never actually put into practice yet.
Right.
So they changed it and then already tweaked it. So they already reviewed their rule about reviews.
Was it a booth review or was it a challenge?
Somebody threw a flag.
And they decided they were worried about too many challenges if it's a booth review in the final 2 minutes that it would just could stop in now theory before, on every
pass.
Did
they decide on this? Are they going to put it under further review?
No, they've now pushed it back to the competition committee. Said, if you want to change it, you have our blessing.
Gotcha.
They decided not to change the overtime possession rules for this year. Let's see. Divisional playoffs. Start times have been changed. Instead of 1 and 4 o'clock, it's now 3 and 6:30, like the conference championship games.
There's also, help me on this one because you're better with this. They've eliminated
the single-header blackout rule.
Okay, yeah, thank you. What does that mean?
When the Bills are home, we don't get the third game. When the Bills are home at 1 o'clock, we'll get the Bills game at 1, we'll get the National game at 4. The other network that has a 1 o'clock game, we don't normally see it. Now you will.
Oh, but
you'll be watching the Bills game anyway. But now you'll get every TV market is guaranteed three games during the afternoon. Used to be you'd only get two when you were home.
You mean three other games?
Two other games. Your game and two other games. Typically, we wouldn't get another game opposite the Bills. We'd get the late game.
Okay.
There was no doubleheader on one network because you wouldn't get the third game here.
I guess I didn't notice because I've been watching the Bills.
Yeah.
But if they're on the road, you get...
We got the third game when they're on the road. It's just when they're home.
Okay.
I think that's what that is.
More options if you want it.
The single-header blackout rule. How about that? There's a name for it. The NFL Draft, 2021, been awarded to Cleveland. 2023, Kansas City.
Ian Rappaport says they want to go big city, small city. From Nashville to Vegas, which is apparently big, to Cleveland, to be determined, to Kansas
City.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking it was at AFC, NFC, but it can't.
He suggested New York, L.A.
New York? Why would they go back to New York?
He was picking big markets. Okay. Washington maybe was the big one. He was saying that 2022 has not yet been decided because it's his belief, or from what he's understood, they want to alternate between the bigger and the smaller.
Has it been in Dallas yet?
I was just going to say, maybe
Dallas would make sense, right?
Maybe.
L.A., Dallas. It's been in Chicago. It's been in Philly. Oh, God, Boston. Well, they don't have time to plan for a draft. There's too many championship parades
they're
planning
for. And it's been in New York, but never the way they do it now.
No, it was always Radio City, wherever the heck they did it. Now it's a big outdoor event. They could do the draft in Central Park. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, what else? Basketball. Right, NBA playoffs tonight. It's Toronto and Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference final, right? Not finals, Eastern Conference final. Tied at two. Baseball, the Yankees beat Baltimore 7-5. Gleyber Torres has 10 home runs against the Orioles this season. Toronto lost in 13 to Boston 6-5. Mets beat the Washington Nationals 6-1. Bisons lost to Rochester 4-0. Juwan Howard from the Fab Five is back at Michigan. He's their new basketball coach. Headlines brought to you by the Air National Guard. Get military training, serve close to home, and protect others all around the world. It's time to take off. Find out more at goang.com/now or call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG.
How many of the Fab Five can you name?
I can't do it because I saw it this morning. I would. There's always one I can't get.
There are two guys that are forgotten a lot.
Well, the two guys I think that are forgotten a lot, I get the last name of one of the guys.
Yeah.
Like we know Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard.
Jalen Rose, Chris Webber. Everybody can name three.
Those are the big three.
The other guy I would have said to you, but I saw this on SportsCenter, but I would have said there was a guy by the name of King. I can never remember his first name.
Jimmy King?
Okay, sure. Why not? And the fifth guy, I never remember. Did he even play in the NBA?
I'm going to look this up.
I know who it is because I saw the story.
Is it Ray Jackson?
It is Ray Jackson.
Okay, good.
Did he play in the NBA? Did he have any basketball? I never can remember him in the Fab Five discussion.
He played for the Sacramento Kings. Ray Jackson.
Couldn't tell you. Okay. He's the guy I never come up with. Everybody knows Webber. And I don't know, maybe some of you would have struggled to remember Juwan Howard, but I think everybody knows Webber. And, you know, at the very least, if you watch ESPN, you know Jalen Rose. He's on TV all the time.
I take it back. He never played.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was drafted, maybe?
He was the least known of the Fab Five, Ray Jackson.
Good, then I don't feel bad.
Not drafted, cut by the Knicks in preseason, cut by the Pistons. I don't know why I said the Sacramento Kings. It was listed there for a minute, but no.
Okay.
So he said in a February 2007 interview, took me a long time to get over the fact that I was the only one that didn't make it to the NBA from the Fab Five.
Wow.
So he was the one. Ray Jackson.
Those are great. It was a great team. One of the best teams to never win a national championship and actually vacate a Final Four. to technically not have been to the Final Four. But if you ever see, right, they did a 30 for 30, I believe, on the Fab Five. Very well done. So, hey, you know what? From the standpoint of Michigan, you know, we'll see. Juwan Howard, he's got coaching experience. He's been an assistant coach in the pros. Can he be a head coach in college? It remains to be seen. But, you know, he's got his work cut out for him, man, because John Beilein turned Michigan basketball into a fantastic program at a school that's always been known for Michigan football. He made a great basketball program there.
Two things. Josh Allen's draft was in Dallas.
You know, it's funny. I was trying to remember a Dallas draft, and I would have thought that would have been there, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
thank you for pointing that out.
Another texter asks, why don't they start alternating the combine? And it's the same thing the NHL is doing. They move the draft around, but the combine appears to be staying here for a long time.
It's back here this week or next week, rather.
Everybody's really happy about it. The league's happy about it. It's not exactly a fan event.
No.
And the NFL Combine is not a fan event either.
The NHL Combine is not, right?
No.
I thought the NFL...
You can pay to go in.
Yes, allowed you to buy tickets.
But it's not some sort of extravagant thing. You could sit there and watch
it. You'd be bored off your rear end.
Yeah, right.
You know, did you see they're moving the drills to primetime now? The Combine. NFL Combine.
See that.
So the physicals and all that stuff stay where they are. But the actual drills are going to primetime. I know this is the discussion of if you slap football on TV, you'll always get people watching. But, you know, the year that we were looking at quarterbacks and Josh Allen was there, I was all in. Outside of that, boy, combine drills are just not the most exciting thing in the world for me to watch. Primetime combine drills? I'll find something on Netflix. But you know, whatever. I'm sure people will watch because it is football. People watch the Pro Bowl. People watch the combine. People will watch anything with football slapped on it. Bring on the XFL.
I found a ranking of the NFL's GMs from RotoWorld. And I did the little exercise where you think, all right, where are the Bills located? Where's Brandon Bean on a ranking of GMs in the league? And, you know, it's RotoWorld. It's written by Patrick Doherty. And as I scrolled this piece, I had no idea where to expect Brandon Bean. You want to venture a guess? Of the 32 teams, RotoWorld ranks Brandon Bean where?
Okay. Depending on what the answer is, I actually did want to bring something up about Brandon Bean and the Bills and some of the offseason things that are being said about them. 20th.
22.
Okay.
Which I can't say I'm surprised. I don't think it's a slight. I think it's one of these lists that when you are still unproven, you kind of get kicked down. That said, John Elway is 19th. And, you know, I wouldn't really...
He's not really doing that well in Denver. They're going backwards under Elway stewardship.
Right. Bean is 22nd behind Marty Herney, right ahead of Brian Gain, who was with the Bills not so long ago. So it basically says that Bean and McDermott will be tied to Allen's success, and while that's still to be determined, they sit at 22.
I think it's funny. In the last couple of weeks, I think maybe you've seen the stories, too, about off-season reviews and which teams have had a good off-season. You tend to see the Bills mentioned.
You do.
And I got to be honest with you. I think this is like teams that get an A in the draft because they had two first-round picks. I think it's a volume thing. Like a lot of people say, boy, what a great offseason for Brandon Bean. Look at all the guys he signed. Look at this. Look at that. Well, first off, as you will point out, it was self-designed. They gutted the roster. They got out of a lot of bad contracts knowing they'd have all this cap space. And, you know, volume signings, why? Because you were bad. You know, your roster was bereft of an offensive line. Your receiving core was one of the worst in the league. So your running back situation was a mess. I'm not trying to rain on a parade, but I think all the stuff about, boy, the Bills have had a great offseason. I think it's because they brought in a ton of guys.
Sure.
And when you sign as many free agents as they have signed, automatically you think, boy, they had a great offseason. Look at all the guys they brought in. And they got Beasley and they got Brown. Well, right, they had holes all over the place. And $90 million in cap space. Did the Jets have a great offseason?
They did.
Okay.
By the same standard.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You get a higher draft grade if you have multiple picks in one of the first two or three rounds. They're automatically, boy, what a great job. They got linebacker and wide receiver in round one.
Yeah.
I don't know do we know if any of these offensive linemen can play?
No,
beyond Mitch Morse,
the injury to Tyler Croft and the surgery for Cole Beasley and Mitch Morse reminds you, well, any guy you sign can just get hurt.
Yeah,
and then your depth is really tested. I think the point you might be making that I do agree with is it's kind of like being named the most improved, which is all it is a measure against what you were.
Careful, I won that award in Little League one year.
Did you really?
I did. I won
most
improved. Were
you really bad in the first year?
I was terrible.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like the first year that Tim Murray and Dan Bylsma had the Sabres. They were probably the most improved team in the NHL.
Yeah.
But
what was the standard?
Where you were. Yeah. You went up in the standings 27 points. Wow, look at what they did.
Yeah.
And then that was the ceiling. They haven't been back to that point. So I tend to agree. Sometimes I think what's being said about the Bills, I don't want to say that expectations are starting to run away and get a little high. Maybe it's just because I've seen the Bills so many times kind of fall back to earth that I'm afraid to believe. But when we played this, I played it in the open. I'll play it again here. The comment from Chris Sims about the Bills here.
I think with this offense, the New England offense and some of the talent, and now having the offensive line looks like it's going to be mended here in Buffalo. I think Buffalo is one of those teams to watch out for this year. I think they're a playoff caliber team, and I really would be shocked if Josh Allen doesn't go out there and assert himself as one of the better quarterbacks in football.
I mean, those are across the board, really high expectations.
Yeah.
One, it is funny though, because anytime you talk about the Bills as being dangerous, it's not even about making the playoffs. It's being playoff caliber.
Right.
Right? Chris Sims, I'm telling you, they're going to be dangerous. This could be a playoff caliber team. Okay, so you mean dangerous by Bill standards. And for Allen to establish himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, that is a very high bar.
Yeah, I can't go there. Honestly, again, I don't mean to be a downer. And look, please pay no attention to what records I come up with and pick the Bills.
No, if
everything goes right, in my opinion, if Allen takes a step, if the offensive line is better, if the running game comes back, if the receivers are better, if the defense stays top five, if all that happens, we're talking about them having a shot at a wild card playoff berth. That's as far as I think and by the way, that's a long list of ifs.
Yeah, and I think if I'm with you, if all that happens, I would think they will be a playoff team. I think they will win a wild card if all that happens. Their defense should keep them in games, and if Allen takes a step, depending on how big it is, sure, all that could line up. The thing for me is Allen becoming one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He fully expects that. That is a huge step.
That's a big leap.
We talked about this maybe, Monday? That's 4,000 yards. You've got to get to 4,000 yards to have that kind of conversation. You've got to get to 34 touchdowns, not just 30. I mean, there have been some guys that have had good statistical years. Blake Bortles, didn't he have like a 40-touchdown season or something? Blake Bortles has numbers, but didn't have wins. Allen might get wins and not get numbers. You know, it'll be about, there'll be a team grade. There'll be a grade for Allen as well. But there is a little bit of, They signed a bunch of quantity, and we don't yet know the quality of what it all comes together on. And to say, you know, the Patriots offense, all right, Patriots did have, you know, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and some pretty darn good talent over there for the last 15 years.
Forever, yeah.
So we'll see. I'm optimistic. I can't wait to watch it. I do get that sense, though, that there's a little bit of a – and maybe it's because the over-under was set at 6.5, and everybody's betting the over, so everyone's saying – way better than people expect. Yeah. Way better. You know, at some point that's going to level off, and it'll be maybe people getting too high on the Bills.
Yeah, and like I said, me going with 10 wins or 9 wins is part. I do think they're. I think the over under was too low, but heck, 7 would beat the over under, and we're talking about a team that was 6-10 last year. So I just wanted to point that out because I think volume of signings sometimes leads people to say that team had a productive offseason. But it does, let's face it, the proof is in the pudding, obviously. You know, they signed a whole bunch of offensive linemen. Did they come together and have a really good line? If they did, then congratulations to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Mission accomplished. And I do think, you know, Brown and Beasley are upgrades of what they had over what they had. The tight end, we've talked about it. You brought in guys, but I don't know how productive that position is going to be as a group in terms of the passing offense. So there are a lot of questions, and I think you can be, you know, excited and be looking forward to the season. But I think, you know, in terms of saying, boy, the Bills had a great offseason, I think it's because they brought in a lot of bodies. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550 as we talk a little Bills football here. Whatever else is on your mind, you can always join us. If there's something else you want to get to, you can call and change the topic. Want to remind you about the WGR Golf Tournament. Hopefully you have saved the date. If not, mark it on your calendar, put it in your phone,
write
it in the palm of your hand.
8th.
Yeah, you should write it on your
calendar. July 8th.
You actually,
Hickory Stick.
Trick shot, Jeremy will be there.
I haven't done it. I stopped practicing the trick shot, I told you.
Well, you got a month and a half-ish to get something down.
I tell you a really funny golf story because we're talking about golf. So you can track your scores and your handicaps through this app that I use. It's called Grint. Anyway, it's kind of like Facebook for golf in that your friends get on, you can see each other's scorecards.
Oh my.
For instance, Nate Geary works here at WGR. Mm-hmm. He and I played earlier this week. Nate played yesterday. It's the kind of thing where you get things you necessarily don't want. I got a notification that Nate started around and that Nate Geary is +8 at the turn. Like, oh, congratulations. It's coming to my phone. I don't want these updates.
Yeah.
So I played with Nate the other day, and I played a horrible round. But one of the things that you can do, and it helps track your handicap, is you attest someone's score. Like, yes, I was there. He shot an 84.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was there.
It's
he
kind
shot.
Of verifying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no one had ever attested any of my scores before because I hadn't played with anybody on the app before.
So Mr.
Sure
84.
Enough, I shoot a freaking 100, and here's Nate to say, yup, I saw that. I was there for that. I attest that score.
I think you made that 84 up. You did, didn't
Nate,
you? Made it up.
You're killing me, Nate.
Wow.
Where are the other attestments for my
shot
scores?
100?
That was an estimate, Howard. It was a bad
day. Oh, really? No kidding. That's why you hate golf.
It was a bad day.
You're bad at golf again. Monday, July 8th, Seneca Hickory.
I was Martin Jones out there.
Oh, my. Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course, Lewiston. Save the date. It's our golf tournament presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Excited, good hockey IQ, a very good attention to detail person. And it was unfortunate with how things fell in Edmonton for his sake. Obviously, it was the lockout year, but he did a good job for what he was given there. And he's a great person, great communicator, and just loves the players.
That is Ryan Smith, Edmonton Oiler. Also played for the Colorado Avalanche.
Played a few. There
Avalanche.
Were a few was he in? Kings. Islanders, right? Wasn't he traded to the Islanders? Is that where he went from Edmonton?
Yeah.
And he was all upset and everything. And
yep, that'll be his most memorable moment is him bawling his eyes out over getting traded to the Islanders.
He played for Edmonton from 1994 to 2007 and then got traded. Colorado 2 years, Kings 2 years, and then back to Edmonton to finish his career. He ends up playing more than 1,000 games, 1,270 games in 19 seasons for Ryan Smith.
Played the second most games in Edmonton Oilers history.
Yeah, he isn't Mr. Oiler. But he's got to be on, I assume, from a fan's perspective, top five. Obviously, Gretzky and Messier are at the top.
You can't find anybody to say a bad word about Ralph Kruger, huh?
Or at least I'll keep looking.
There might be some that don't like the hire, but what we've found in the last couple weeks since the hire of Kruger is there are a lot of people very, very, maybe eager is the wrong word, but happy to talk about how much they like him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you've heard, you know, we heard from Ryan Smith with us. We heard from Paul Maurice with us, Thomas Vanek with the Instigators. And I've said, to me, I really do find it interesting that it's the same. Everybody seems to hit the same few points. They all bring up his ability to communicate and reach everybody in the room, the players, even the equipment staff. Everybody brings up the motivation. Paul Maurice talked about how it's dealing with 22 different corporations.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting that the things you're hearing about him from Vanek, Smith, Maurice, there's a lot of the same material in there.
He comes across to me as a guy that people want to be around.
Yeah.
That's a fairly consistent theme. And when I hear that, I think, what would he have done in Phil Housley's first season? What would he have done if Ryan O'Reilly is falling out of love with the game?
Yeah.
You know, they decided, the Sabres, the O'Reilly trade is, you know, in the past. We all talked about it to death. But the fact that the Sabres lost Ryan O'Reilly before the trade is on the Sabres.
Yeah.
And is Ralph Kruger the kind of guy that could have helped that not happen?
I don't know. Yeah, I thought that and the fact that, you know, there's a lot of positive energy. I don't want to say he is everybody gets a pat on the back, we'll try and do better tomorrow, fellas, because Ryan Smith told us he can yell and scream and he can, you know, he can get on guys, but he's big on, you know, trying to make sure guys don't get down, trying to reinforce some positive things. Even Jason Botchel, you know, talked about the energy that he has and the passion he has and how players will feed off that. So maybe that helps keep a room in better shape if you're going through some downtimes individually or as a team. Maybe somehow Kruger can do a better job of managing the personalities to keep everybody in more of a positive frame of mind, as opposed to something goes wrong and it's like everybody hangs their heads and says, here we go again, and then you just have a collective slump and lose 9 of 10 games. So it's good to hear it. Again, I'll say the same thing I told you about the Bills. Man still got to go out and coach. Sabres still have to win hockey games. But I do find it interesting that you're hearing the same, almost verbatim things said about the strengths, the positives of Ralph Kruger in
his
coaching time.
Kruger's blackmailing all these people into saying nice things because he's got...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to get some props here. 803-0550, speaking of hockey, when we get back, want to throw out some names of guys that might be of interest to Sabre fans that could be on the market this offseason in one way, shape, or form. We'll do that in a moment. Got a deal of the day for you to take advantage of today at our MyBuffaloPerks.com website. You can get tickets for Buffalo Cigars, Spirits, and Stogies Festival for just $35. You will save $10 on your Spirits and Stogies tickets. That is our deal of the day today. And to take advantage of it, all you need to do is go to MyBuffaloPerks.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.